Father, we pray, as we have read, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We pray that that same Word would instruct our hearts and our minds, and by the Spirit, your Word would come alive in our hearts and in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A year ago, you might remember that I was talking about searching for something of real quality to watch over Christmas and the New Year. And I found little satisfaction, except in a wonderful cartoon film that the BBC showed on Christmas Eve 2022, called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse, an animated version of Charlie Mackesy's 2019 book. It is a story that is shot through with Christian themes of kindness and friendship and courage and hope. The film is a pointed message for adults and wise words for children. At one point in the book, the boy says to the horse, "What's the bravest thing you've ever said?" "Help," says the horse, but then adds, "Asking for help isn't giving up. It's refusing to give up." Well, the book of Proverbs is all about asking for help. It is all about how to cope with the demands of everyday real life, the fear of the Lord, which is paralleled by the knowledge of God. It is the motivation towards a moral and ethical life. And it brings together the importance of a personal relationship with God. The fear of the Lord, well, it doesn't mean being frightened. It's awe. It's that sense of reverence before God. The fear of the Lord is seen as the precondition for gaining wisdom, whereby as human beings we recognize our place in the world as those totally dependent on God, who created us and sustains our lives and indeed the life of the world. The wisdom of the Creator is gained through being in a right relationship with God. And the purpose of the book of Proverbs is set out right at the beginning, in chapter 1, where we read, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is just and right and fair. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And of course, you will know that much of the book of Proverbs sort of does this contrast between the wise and the stupid, between the fool and the wise person. As the horse says to the boy, the bravest thing to say is help. Asking God for help is not giving up. It's refusing to give up and is the beginning of wisdom. It is that essential part of our relationship with God. Well, in the book of Proverbs, we have a lot about wisdom. Proverbs 8 asserts that wisdom is to be found in public places, in our culture, in recreation and commerce, in law and government. And even as a fallen world, God's common grace is still at work. We can still find God. We can still find God underlying so much of what we experience. And we can think of examples of common sense. Common sense doesn't require specialized training, but rather involves practical knowledge that most of us possess. Having common sense allows all of us to function in normal circumstances, encountered in our everyday lives. So, for example, we don't put our hand out to touch a hot stove. We don't jump in the deep end of the swimming baths if we can't swim. On a lighter note, there's a story told about Albert Einstein and his driver, which demonstrates the use of quick thinking and common sense. The story is that Albert Einstein's driver used to sit at the back of the hall during each of Einstein's lectures, and after a period of time remarked that he could probably give the lecture himself, having heard it many times. So at the next stop on the tour, Einstein and his driver switched places, with Einstein sitting at the back in the driver's uniform. The driver gave the lecture, flawlessly. At the end, a member of the audience asked a detailed question about some of the subject matter, upon which the lecturer replied, "Well, the answer to that question is quite simple. I expect my driver sitting at the back could answer it." Personal knowledge, a personal relationship with God, brings confidence and trust in God, and also gives hope for the future and for a fulfilled life. In Proverbs, we find that the virtues of justice, righteousness, and concern for others mark the expression of wisdom, a godly wisdom in our lives, which leads to a harmonious and healthy community. And that's the focus of discipleship. That's the focus of becoming a Christian person, Christian character formation. And so the book of Proverbs talks about Lady Wisdom. The life of faith presented in the book of Proverbs covers every part of our experience, where all knowledge and understanding is to be found. Because, of course, the whole of our life in God's world, in God's presence, is part of God's creation. So wherever we find real wisdom and truth, it's God's wisdom and truth. In the world, or in the church, or in a non-Christian faith, as God is the author and creator of all things. Proverbs seeks to help us to become integrated people, to become whole in body, mind, and spirit, an inward faith and an outward action, being part of who we are. So the book of Proverbs recommends walking with Lady Wisdom through the world, in the company of others, as Christians, children of a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we're encouraged to find that sort of relationship within our lives and in our life with God, to find rhythms of giving and receiving love, relations which are much deeper than ourselves, which we can demonstrate in our own attitudes to others and to the world that God has made. And this leads us to cooperate with the gentle flow of God's direction for our lives. It doesn't overwhelm or replace our human action, but has a gift-like quality as we feel God taking hold of our lives and shaping them and directing them. This is the grace of God, which continually sustains the natural processes in the world and helps us to grow in love. And this is our guide, learning to listen to God, to walk with God in God's garden. A return, perhaps, to the initial relationships of creation, walking in the Garden of Eden. So it's even paradise regained if we learn to listen and to walk with God. It's for us to be in tune with God's promises and God's purposes. It's very difficult, isn't it, for us in our very busy, chatty world to stop and listen. But that's what the mystics, that's what the Celtic Christians used to do. They used to stand and listen. If they wanted to understand creation, the Celtic saints stood up to their waists in the sea listening to God, listening to the rhythm of God and finding God's direction. But we might say we've moved beyond the book of Proverbs. We have the gospel before us. And there we read that the word became flesh. We ask, what is wisdom? And with Pontius Pilate, we are left to ask, what is truth? Truth is a key word in John's account of the gospel. In the same way as the book of Proverbs, the prologue, the beginning that we heard of the gospel according to John, expresses the relationship between Christ and creation. The Apostle John presents Jesus as the wisdom of God, the Logos, the Word, in the creation of the universe. And God tells us that law comes through Moses, but truth, reality, wisdom, comes through Jesus. And before his crucifixion, Jesus tells his disciples that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. In effect, he is saying that wisdom, that truth, the reality of God and God's world is discovered through our relationship with Jesus, walking through life in his company, walking with Lady Wisdom, walking and listening to God. And Jesus goes on to promise another counselor, the Spirit of Wisdom and Truth, who will be present with the disciples and with us after Jesus returned to God. Now, we can discover a great deal in our world through scientific observation and research, through experiment and testing, and through our five senses, our sight, our hearing, our smell, our taste, our touch. But there's still a sixth sense. There's our relationship with God and our relationship of living in God's world. There is the knowledge that comes by being attuned to God, gaining God's wisdom, walking with God in God's world, living with Jesus, knowing the presence of the Holy Spirit, leading us into all truth and the understanding of reality and the meaning of God's world. Many reflections from the past, which we might dismiss as old wives' tales, express the truth of this. Carrots are good for your eyesight. While it may not be as simple as eating carrots to get 20/20 vision, there is some truth in the claim that carrots are good for our eyes. When we consume the beta carotene found in carrots, our bodies convert it into vitamin A, which is essential for overall eye health. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. When it comes to healthy living and healthy eating, we can do much worse than apples. Apples are rich in both vitamin C and fiber and contain special phytochemicals that can help regulate digestion and improve blood glucose control. Then, of course, there's the biblical saying, which we probably know in its secular form, which is red sky at night, shepherd's delight, red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning. And there's a reason that this saying has stuck around, and that's because it can be pretty dependable, a pretty dependable way to predict the next day's weather. These are examples of wisdom, common wisdom, that grows out of experience and observation. We see that wisdom is not what we know about. It is what we know deep inside us. It's the essence of who we are. Wisdom is holding together the old and the new. It's balancing the known and the unknown, the pain and the joy. It's a way of linking the whole of our lives together. Growing in wisdom, patience, and contentment is to move from doing into that much more important stage of knowing who we really are, so that we may discern what matters and what doesn't. This is particularly important for us in periods of doubt and uncertainty and anxiety and fear and pain. I was asked a few years ago, it is a few years ago because I retired in 2011, and I was asked by the Baptist Union of Great Britain if I would write a reflection on retirement. And I began to explore the wisdom that is often revealed as we get older. Wisdom is different from knowledge. It's grounded in everyday life and experience. Wisdom can be described as a kind of ordinary theology. It's the access to our understanding of the nature of God, as it's accessible to all of us as we reflect on our lives in the light of our faith, in the light of our understanding about who God is. Wisdom is put into a broader perspective and is related to the quality of life, to wholeness and health and living the good life. It is this wisdom which comes from being attuned to God, which both Proverbs and the Gospel according to John present for us. Older age is nothing else, if nothing else, will provide an opportune time to explore who we are and what really matters. We ask such questions as, who have I been? Who am I now? Who will I be? What will become of me? These are significant questions as we seek to grow old with grace. We are each on a spiritual journey, which will include our physical, mental, emotional, and relational selves, but will also include our wonder at the created universe of which we are a part, and our appreciation of each other. All this leads to a deeper sense of our understanding of our life and of God. It's our life of faith, which we trust, as we trust in God, will run through our lives, through death, and into eternity. Our life of faith, our spirituality, will include our love and our concern for other people, recognizing their uniqueness and significance to us and also to God, and realizing that in the cross we see the love and the value and the purpose that God places on each of our lives, in fact, on every living person. We recognize that life has meaning and purpose, and we discover more of who God is in our experience of God. This is the joy and hope of our Christian faith. The awe of God is the beginning of wisdom. Or, as the horse tells the boy, the bravest word is help. So we ask God for wisdom to live in this world.